This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And here we go on Fair Week with a lot of different things coming up later in the week here on the program. Today, though, it is Purple Heart Day. And while a lot of us have heard the term for years, probably not everyone really knows what it's all about. We've got three Purple Heart recipients in studio today, Rick Schapiti, Tom North, and Terry Weekly. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
So I guess, Rick, let's start with you first of all. What can you explain about a Purple Heart Award?
Well, it's something that's given for wounds in action, and also it's given to those, unfortunately, that have died in action in combat.
And what do you know about the history of it?
Well, August 7th was the day that General Washington initiated the first medal. They called it the Badge of Merit during the Revolutionary War. And then later on in 1932, it became the Purple Heart and the design that we see today on the medal. And in 2000, Congress established August 7th as the National Purple Heart Recognition Day.
It's interesting that that wasn't done that many years ago.
No, it wasn't. You know, I really didn't know the history of it myself.
Well, and also I was fascinated about the fact that it, while it was had a little bit different name, originated clear back to George Washington. And that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool. And of course, you know, the emblem on the Purple Heart does have General Washington on it.
So we've had Rick in here before, but Terry and Tom, I don't think either of you have been in here before, right?
Right.
I've been in here with Ace before.
Oh, okay. Well, let's start, Tom, with you. Tell us a little bit about your time of service.
Yeah, I was drafted in 1967 for 2 years. I spent 1 year in Vietnam, 68 Tet Offensive, and I left shortly after the 69 Tet Offensive. But during that time, I got wounded, of course, and got a Purple Heart. It's interesting, though, I didn't get shot. I was in quite a few firefights because they put me in the 101st Airborne Infantry. And later we had a cushy job where we were guarding tanks that was guarding D-7 Cats that was plowing down villages. They worked too late one night, so they put us on the tank. Going back to the base that they wanted to know we worked from, they ran over the track, ran over a 105 round, and there was another one off to the side that covered us with shrapnel. So that's where I got my Purple Heart.
And Rick, what about you?
Well, I was U.S. Army. I flew with the 114th Assault Helicopter Company. I was a crew chief and a door gunner, and I got my Purple Heart on November 20th, 1968. While I was resupplying special forces on the top of a mountain, came under heavy fire. My helicopter took a number of hits, and my body took a round, took an AK-47 round.
Wow. How substantial were your injuries?
Well, I lost feeling in my body, so I really didn't know until I got back, and fortunately for me, it was the bullet went in about an inch and so, and it stopped and hit a bone, and I was very fortunate, you know. I was one of the lucky guys. I was back flying in about a week and a half.
I'm not sure I call lucky having that happen, but...
The luck was that our helicopter didn't get shot out of the sky. Even though we got shot down, we had fuel leaking out and things like that. Technically, we were very lucky.
Terry, talk about your experience.
Well, I was in a firefight when I got shot. I got shot in the leg and ended up down in Cameron Bay. I have a story that I always tell. There's another guy that he got I got shot in the end of February, and he got shot the 1st of March. We both ended up going to Cameron Bay, the 6th Convalescent Center of the hospital down there. I spent about 8 weeks there, and he spent 10 or 12 weeks there. We kind of both went back to our units. And then we got early outs to go to college, and I went. We both went to Umpqua, and then we went out in the timber industry. He worked for Roseburg Lumber. I worked for Huffman & Wright for about 30 years until we got into the VVA. We'd never met each other. I was born and raised in Riddle, and Dale was born and raised in 10 Mile. And we didn't know anything about each other until we just started talking one day there.
Wow. And, you know, over the years, as I've talked to different veterans, I've heard other experiences where people, you know, live here, meet somebody down the road, find out that they were maybe not in the same place at the same time, but darned close. Rick, have you come across that?
Well, it just so happens that my platoon sergeant, Mike Rowe, when I met him in Vietnam, he's the guy that would give us our flight orders at night and tell us what our missions were. He didn't fly with us, but he was a non-commissioned officer, NCO. He was from Roseburg, Oregon. And so I moved to Oregon about 52 years ago. And, you know, I have yet to find Mike Rowe in Roseburg, but that's my story.
Tom, what about you?
I met a guy in Vietnam that was from Canyonville. And we both made the pact that, you know, if I died, he'd get a hold of my family and I would get a hold of his. And he died. He got, we got hit with RPG attack one night, and they hit him direct because he was running the M60 machine gun, which has tracers, so they can follow him back right to his place. And I got home, and I have yet to be able to find him. Ray Christovich is his name. I can't find anybody that knows him or related.
Wow. Well, I know, and of course, you know, going back a few decades, records and archives and communication are not what they are today, which probably complicates that.
Yeah.
So when a Purple Heart is awarded, is that something, Rick, that is done fairly quickly, or does that come years down the road, or does that just vary?
No, mine was done fairly quickly. Mine was done in, I was wounded in November, and I was awarded a field medal along with an air medal in December of 68. I was out flying one day, and we came back from a mission, and First Sergeant was down there, or Mike Rowe, my platoon sergeant, get down to the headquarters, and they lined us all up. And they issued a bunch of medals, and I was pinned with the Purple Heart and an air medal at that time.
Wow. But for some people, it happens further down the road, right?
Oh, yes. I know people that, you know, and for me, those were the only medals I ever got. It wasn't until, like, 30 years later, I called the congressman's, or I was somewhere, and I called the congressman's veteran representative, and I said, I need to get my medals. And I've heard this story of people never getting their medals until way, way beyond the time they were supposed to. In fact, our local veteran service office here can do that for any veteran that has not ever got their medals. They can go down there and apply for them.
Well, that's probably something good for people to know if they don't. Tom, what about you? Did you get yours soon after?
Actually, they told me what I had earned when I got ready to leave country, so which was in March of 69. I went down to Benoit, the 101st headquarters, and they said, here's your orders, your records, and what you've earned. And that's first I knew, because we was out in the field all the time. I never had a barracks or anything. We just stayed in the jungle.
Well, and when you're in the midst of something that intense, you know, awards or medal is kind of not, you're just trying to stay alive at that point.
Correct. And also, they're easily lost, you know, because all you, everything you own is on your back.
Wow. We're going to talk more about Purple Hearts when we get back. Rick Schapiti, Terry Weekly, Tom North with us. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson is 1 o'clock. Peter Greenberg with Eye on Travel. At least a couple of our programs later this week will be live from the Douglas County Fair. Still getting that all put together. Today, Purple Heart Day, and we've got Terry Weekly, Tom North, Rick Schapiti in with us this afternoon. Terry, you know, one of the aspects about Vietnam is that a lot of guys didn't really want to talk much about it, right?
No, they didn't talk much about it. That's like I was saying. When I worked for Huffman and Wright, there was a yard engineer that worked there, and we'd been together for probably 10 or 11 years, and he happened to walk into our office at the VA hospital over there, and I just recognized his voice, and we finally started talking, and I found out that he was a Vietnam veteran, 10, 12 years working together, and neither one of us had ever said a word about it.
Was it just because of how political things were then?
I think so. You know, a lot of the guys got called baby killers, and they got treated bad. You know, coming back to Oregon wasn't bad for me. I think down in California, they got a lot of stuff thrown whatever at them and everything, but really political, yeah.
And that's got to be, from any conflict, a hard one to sort out when your job is to serve and do whatever role you had, and essentially it's people that are way out of your control that are making the decisions. It's not your decision whether or not to do something.
Oh, exactly. You know, for me, I landed at Travis Air Force Base in California, 1969, and there were protesters outside of the gate. They were screaming and yelling, and you're right, for me, I enlisted. You know, I wanted to serve the country. I wanted to learn a trade, aircraft mechanics, and here I was doing this, and then on the other hand, you had these people that were, you know, verbally and physically, you know, exuding this behavior on us. And in my opinion, you know, they should have kept it to the politicians and not us.
Yeah, it seems like that would be hard to deal with. Are Purple Hearts given out as frequently now?
No.
Oh, that...
I don't think so. I looked at the numbers, but I don't remember them now. But I know, like Medal of Honors, there was only in the Afghan Wars probably, I don't want to say it, 30, 35. There was like 280 just in Vietnam for Medal of Honor. And I'm thinking the ratio probably is going to be the same for a Purple Heart. One thing that's odd, there was only 500 women from World War II forward have got Purple Hearts.
Wow.
And there's like well over, 2 million or more. I don't know how many.
We have our local Purple Heart chapter 147, which is represents Southwest Oregon here. We have I've been to what we call department meetings in Oregon, and we have women here in Oregon that are Purple Heart recipients. Now, as far as giving them out, if you're wounded in action, you're going to get a Purple Heart regardless, but, you know, I think, boy, with modern technology, you have less people in the field, you have, you know, more technology doing the work, of course you're going to have less Purple Hearts, and maybe that's a good thing.
Talk about the Purple Heart organization, and I know you're pretty involved in it, right?
Well, I am the commander of Chapter 147, which is, we have 108 members here in Southwest Oregon, which is Douglas, Josephine, Jackson, Klamath, Lake, Coos, and Curry counties. And we even have two members from Siskiyou County who come across the border because they don't want to go clear to Redding, which is understandable. And yeah, we're fairly active in the community. We, you know, our main goal is to advocate for veterans' services, for health care and benefits.
And recently it was announced that the Veterans Memorial in front of the courthouse is going to get a Purple Heart section added to it. Is that the right way to phrase that?
Well, yeah. And it just so happens that I'm helping with that project. And the Department of Oregon donated a one-ton Purple Heart monument that is going to be placed during that renovation process. And it's a really beautiful stone, granite stone. And our chapter has also donated a Gold Star memorial marker that will honor the family members of all those 300 that are on the walls of the Douglas County War Memorial. And we've donated a Blue Star memorial plaque, a marker that will put that war memorial on the map of the U.S. Garden Club, which I think it's the Oregon Garden Club, but it's a U.S. Organization.
We had our traveling wall out, it's been a few months back, and I'm going to say we're up in Tillamook, and we had the reporter showed up there to interview some of us and talk about our memorial wall, because it's from Vietnam forward. Well, anyways, this reporter interviewing us, there were three or four of us sitting around, and they were talking about Purple Hearts. And the reporter, probably 21, 22 years old, actually said, "What is a Purple Heart?" Never had a clue what a Purple Heart was. They're not really growing up in the right age today.
Do you feel like that's something that's getting left out of the education process in terms of talking about veterans?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, just growing up around here, you know what a Purple Heart was.
So, Tom, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I was at a grocery store, my wife and I was packing my groceries in, and the guy, probably in his 50s, was packing his groceries, and I had on a cap that said Purple Heart. And he asked me, he said, "What's it feel like to get shot?" And before I could answer, he said, "I was out in my shop one day and fell down, broke my arm in two places, and it was a real struggle," and he was just going on and on about it. And I said, "Well, I see one big difference." He said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, when you get a Purple Heart, chances are the enemy is still trying to kill you." And he said, "Oh, I hadn't thought of that." Well, that's the mentality of civilians a lot. They're still trying to kill you no matter what. The war doesn't end.
So it's not about just being in some random accident that would lead to that.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So, Rick, as we wrap up here, we've got about a minute left. If people want to find out more about the whole area of Purple Hearts, talk about the organization in terms of how they can get connected to information you have.
Well, you can go to Military Order of the Purple Heart, Chapter 147 on Facebook. We now have a Facebook page, and there's information there. If someone's interested in joining the organization, they can call me at 541-580-5877.
And do you have any idea on the timeline for what's going to happen at the courthouse?
Well, we're hoping by Veterans Day, we'll have a substantial amount of it done. They've already started cleaning up the central area, so the plaques are on order, contracts are in, so we're looking forward to that.
All right, I know a lot of work's going to go in that in the next several months. Tom North, Terry Weekly, Rick Schapiti on Purple Heart Day, all three Purple Heart recipients. Gentlemen, thanks for your service. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you,
Kyle.
1256 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.